Hello and welcome to the Pulpiteer Podcast, an audio online ministry of Pastor Andy Kroll and St. John's Pilgrim United Methodist Church. You can visit us online at pilgrimumchurch.com, or you can visit my blog at thepulpiteer.com for more sermons and writing. All right, so you've had time to turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, I'm going to read, starting with verse 9 and go through verse 13. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God, that he's testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have this testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. So now you're maybe asking, well, what is this testimony? It's good that you ask. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Would you bow your heads to me, please? Gracious and loving God, Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be an acceptable sacrifice to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this is the verse, these are verses I really want to focus on. This is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. We're going to talk about this life. We're going to talk about life today and the life that God gives us, but just life in general. We're going to focus on life. And because of that, I want to share something exciting that's been going on. We've been able to hatch a few ducks just recently. I don't know if you've ever seen a duck hatch, but you're about to on video. So here we go. I don't know if any of you are getting like body English to try and help it out. Push.
Come on, little guy, you can do it.
Isn't that cool? I'm going to tell you, we've hatched a few ducklings now. Every single time, it's really cool. It's amazing to see that new life and to see life being born. It's a miracle. It really is. And it's neat when the ducklings are being born. We had a chance. We did kind of a big batch lately. That we're going to give to some friends. I don't know, we had like 14 ducks that just hatched, 14 ducks. In fact, if everyone looks under your seat, some of you won a free duckling. Happy Mother's Day! It's been really cool to see them hatch. Like, you cheer them on. Like, the birds chirp at each other once they hatch, and it encourages other ones to like hatch and to push, and so, you know, you chirp and stuff, and it gets, I don't know, like when it gets... When it gets to the end, it gets, to encourage them on. I guess you can say you really have to egg them on, I guess is what you could say. You really do. But we got a lot of kids, and so we need any form of cheap entertainment we can. And so that's what we do. I don't know if you can hear me back in the cheap seats. And if I do enough of these, if you throw stuff at me, I'm ready to duck. I know you're cracking up right now, and that's... That's the way, but it just gets really exciting, and I want to show that. I feel like if I do enough of these, Bud Delavan will magically appear and give me a high five. And so, there's something amazing about new life. There's really something amazing about new life, and I wanted to think about that today, because as you see life go around you, as like springtime is just full of that. It's just kind of everything seems to be exploding with new life. The leaves come out, there's birds all over and that sort of thing, and we're drawn to life. And I think it's natural for us to be drawn to life with the fecundity and the abundance of life that explodes onto the scene after the cold and dark and sterile winter. It speaks to our souls. as we see this life. And we read in today's scripture that God gave us eternal life in his Son. And so if you have the Son, you have life. And it's natural for us to desire life and to be drawn to this life. If you have the Son, you have life. And so this morning we're going to focus on two aspects of this. I'm going to say first that real life is found in Christ, and second, that eternal life is found in Christ. And so first, real life is found in Christ. And I want to approach this way. I've sometimes asked you this. I've asked you, where do you find life? Where do you get your life from? And what I mean by this is, I mean, where do you get your meaning? Where do you define yourself? How do you understand your value and your worth, what you're worth and how you're measured, all of that sort of stuff? What do you count on to energize and to animate you? And I ask that because it's just kind of another way of asking, you know, what idols do you have? Or how are you breaking the first commandment, which is, I don't know, may or may not land with you. But so I kind of ask you to think, where are you getting your life? Where are you getting your life? Or to ask us to maybe consider, what are we putting in God's place? What might I be putting in God's place? And so you can get that to that question of what am I putting in God's place or where am I getting my life by asking about things about how you define yourself. How do I understand myself? How do I define myself? And then also, where do you spend your time and your money and your energy? What's the main framework I use to sort through life and understand that sort of thing? Because the truth is that all of us look other places for life from time to time. It's the truth. And sometimes it's more innocent things like pastimes or hobbies or friendships or relationships. Or sometimes it's less innocent things like self-medicating through gluttony or addiction or sexual things or just abusing power or things of that sort. But there's different ways that we look to get life from other spots. And so I ask you to consider where you find life because there's only one place where you can find true life. We can find real life, and that's in Jesus. There's only one spot. There's, years and years ago, centuries ago, St. Augustine wrote a book, Confessions, which was his confessions. And in it, he had this line that's resonated with people for centuries. He's speaking to God. He said, "You've made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it finds rest in thee." And I don't know if you've ever experienced this kind of restless heart, searching and trying to find the things that you're longing for, trying to find meaning or trying to find the purpose of life, or whatever it is, just searching for life. We get that part of us that just searches for life, and it's natural for us to search for life. But as Augustine points out, real life is only found in Christ. So he says, you know, our hearts have this desire. We have this, we're restless. We're looking for something and looking and looking. We try to fill that hole with all sorts of stuff. And we find out that it's still, nothing ever really quite works. He says, our hearts are restless until they find rest in God. Our hearts are restless until they find rest in God. And this sort of thing's really resonated with me. I mean, I've shared my testimony with you before. I've looked for life elsewhere. And when I did, I didn't find life. I found it really wasn't working out. It really wasn't good. And then when I came to Christ, when I gave myself to Christ, my life is in a different place now because of Jesus. It is. It just is. My life is different because of Jesus. It looks different. I am different because of Christ. And so if you're looking for life in all the wrong places today, I just beg you to turn to Christ. Turn to Christ. He's the Lord of all. So take him as Lord of your life. And I think you'll find, I guess what I found, I know what I found is, as I gave my life away to him, I found that I received life like I hadn't had it before. The place to find real life is in Christ. Second thing is eternal life. So real life is in Christ, and then eternal life is found in Christ. And to get into this, I want to approach it this way. I had a few reminders this week of how fragile life is, which is kind of interesting how, I don't know, sometimes stuff happens around the same time, especially when you're thinking over things. And so the first thing is this. Many of you know it was just 3 years ago that my wife's sister died suddenly of a ruptured aneurysm. She was just 34 and left behind three kids and a husband, and it was just terrible. Katie's birthday was May 10th, and May 10th was actually the last time we got to see her. It was Mother's Day that year. Sometimes Mother's Day fell on her birthday, and Katie said, whenever that happens, I just call it Mother's My Birthday. And then she had this big smile, she always did. She was just so full of life, such a fun person. That was the last time we got to see her. So when that day rolls around, she comes to mind. She comes to mind often enough anyway, but you know, we think of her, especially around this time of year. And along with that, it comes to mind how suddenly life can end. And in a way that you don't see coming, and it doesn't have to be fair. It can just be done. Life is fragile. That's the first thing. Second thing that reminded me of how fragile life was, I was blessed to officiate a wedding yesterday here at the church, and the bride, I actually met her in 2010, and when I was up in Carson City, there was a family in the community that didn't have a church anywhere, and I met her family because her dad had terminal cancer, and he ended up dying, and I did his funeral December 15th. It was, you know, just 10 days before Christmas, and so I've thought of that family often, actually, because he was, I think, 47 when he died, and left behind a wife and two kids, and just always, it was just horrible, right? Just horrible. And so I've thought of them. So then she called me last year and said, hey, you've been with my family through some horrible things. Would you like to be with us through a celebration? You know, would you like to do the wedding? I said, yeah, that'd be awesome. And so was able to do that wedding, but you just have this this reminder that he's, you know, he should have been there, but then also just the sweet part of the support she'd gotten. But it's just a reminder that, you know, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Again, you know, life is fragile. Life is fragile. The third thing, a bit less personal, but just had me thinking about this stuff anyway. The lead singer of an indie rock band that I like, he wrote actually one of my favorite secular Christmas songs. Ended up taking his own life this week. And he'd battled depression for some time and had been fighting demons for some time. And one of the ironic things is, like, he'd battled this darkness for some time, but then his songs had ended up helping a lot of people who were depressed. And still, even with that, it overcame him this week. And it's just such a tragic thing. And it's something that's just so hard to understand and just hurts so many people so much. And there's just a lot we don't know about that. But I think what we do know, and I just keep coming back to this, is life is fragile. And not only that, but we can say that death steals from us. Death steals from us. And I think we need to be just open about saying that. Like, death is horrible. And it steals from us, and it's stolen from each of us. Because I bet all of us could stand up and we could all share something, some way that death is stolen from us. From people that we love, or things that have gone on and stolen from us in a way that is just heartbreaking. This is the last Sunday in Easter season. Next week is Pentecost. This has been a 50-day, the great 50 days of Easter, and it's a time that we celebrate Christ's defeat of death, which is really good news, which is a really big deal. I think that's why I think as Christians, we need to be really good at saying, yeah, death is horrible. Like, not making excuses for it, not trying to smooth it over, not trying to explain it away, not trying to explain away people's tragedy. But instead, when people are really in the midst of tragedy, we need to be able to articulate as well as anyone, yes, this is absolutely horrible. It's unfair. It doesn't make any sense. And I'm so sorry. And my hope only comes from this. That Jesus Christ defeated death. And so we have that hope, and we have these great 50 days of celebrating. I don't, you know, and I wanted to think about that because I want to think about what we talked about on Resurrection Sunday. We had this great Easter prayer, this ancient prayer of the church that's Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. Like the last part, that's pretty awesome, right? Like Christ has defeated death and then given life the people in the tombs. You remember that God can give you life. And then we looked at Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 11, where it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit that dwells in you. God can raise the dead. Like, we need to remember that. We need to proclaim that God can raise the dead. Death is horrible and death steals from us, but guess what? It's not the end of the story, because God can raise the dead. If you have the life of Christ in you, that same thing that happened to Jesus' body can happen for your body, because God can raise the dead. Death doesn't work anymore because of Jesus Christ. And I know a lot of times people think the point of Christianity is to go to heaven, but the point of Christianity isn't to go to heaven. His body was raised from the dead. His body wasn't there. He was bodily raised from the dead. And our hope is that because he was bodily raised from the dead, he's the first fruits of many who would come. And our hope is that we will bodily be raised from the dead someday too when Jesus Christ comes back. We may wait for that in heaven, but heaven's not the end of the story. In fact, the Christian faith, again, is not about people going to heaven. The Christian faith is about Jesus Christ coming back here and bringing heaven to earth. Right? That's the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. May your kingdom come and your will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. Bringing heaven here to earth. It's not like God looks at the broken world where death happens and says, oh, it's too ugly. I'm going to take everybody away to heaven. That's not what he says. He says, no, this is terrible and we're going to do something about it. Right? And Jesus Christ came to address that. And so death has been defeated, and someday Jesus will return, because it's not the end of the story. Someday Jesus will return and bring the kingdom of God here. And so I want you to consider, like, what if that stuff's all true? Like, what if death and evil really can be undone? What if Jesus really did defeat death? What if all is not ultimately lost, but that Jesus Christ can resurrect things? What if that good news really is real? Because we know that death is real, that death robs and steals from us. What has been stolen from you? What if someday God can completely undo that? Because that's what the resurrection says, that God can undo that. This that I'm talking about is the eternal life. It's a life in Christ that cannot be touched by death. In fact, Christ so transforms it that if you have that eternal life in him, you pass through death onto something else until you get raised from the dead. Like, he's defeated death. And that eternal life is only available through Jesus. I was reminded this week once again of the fact of death and how that works and how it steals from us. And I told you this on Easter Sunday. We are all going to end up in the grave someday. That's the way it works. We will all end up in the grave, but we won't all stay there. Right? God can raise the dead. Don't you want that eternal life in him? Don't you want that hope in him that no matter what happens, because life is unfair and it's fragile and it can end in a moment, but that doesn't have to be the end, because Jesus Christ defeated death. So I shared that video of ducklings hatching because I love seeing life. I love seeing things grow. I really do. I get into gardening a little bit and I get into little animals, but it's not just like garden and animals and stuff that I love seeing grow. I love seeing people grow. I really do. I love watching people grow in faith when Jesus just gets a hold of somebody's heart and they just grow in their faith. I just love seeing that sort of stuff. And I love seeing people grow. So I want to close with this kind of thought in this story. So we're doing that project on Saturday that I spoke about, where we're going to the meadows and we're cutting grass and planting flowers and raking up stuff and all sorts of stuff like that. And it's our fourth year of doing this, and there's just some neat things that happen after you do things for enough time. You just keep working at it. And Darcy got a call in the office, I think it was about a week and a half ago. She had a call, or 2 weeks ago, something like that. Was it Sun Tree Apartments? Where's Darcy at? Yes, from Sun Tree. I hear a voice. Yeah, from Sun Tree Apartments. And Sun Tree Apartments, which is not the Meadows. And the lady on the phone said, hey, I heard, is this Pilgrim Church? Yeah, I heard you guys are the church that cleans people's yards. I've got some stuff for you to do. I thought, wow, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? Like, we're getting a reputation. But I want you to think about that. We're getting a reputation, right? I don't know if you're aware of this. Some people hate church. Have you encountered that, right? Some people do. And some people have real stories of real hurt that they found in church. How much would a place pay to have a reputation in marketing? Like, if you, how much would you spend in marketing to gain a reputation? But yet, here we have somebody calling us up and say, I hear you're the church. I hear you're the church that helps people out. That's what she's saying, right? I hear that you're the church that helps people out. Now, at the end of the day, the goal isn't to stay there. The goal isn't to become some volunteer garden club. Like, that's not the goal of the day. But we want to tangibly show the love of Christ to other people so that they will know they are loved by Christ. Right? If you heard the saying, people don't care what you know unless they know that you care, right? We want to tangibly show the love of Christ to people so that they can know that they're loved by Jesus Christ. And we want to do that because, you know, I believe people need Jesus. I believe that your life is better with Jesus. That I like the stuff that John writes about in this letter, that eternal life is found in the Son of God and Jesus Christ. And so we want to make sure people know that they're loved so that we can show them who loves them and Jesus Christ so that they can take Jesus for their own, because we believe that if you have the Son of God, you have life. And then once they get that life, we can really watch them grow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.